Last time when we spoke, Chris Murphy, I asked you about, I said I was going to ask you the next time about something you probably don't want to be asked about. But it's presidential politics time.
I heard.
And I keep asking about this. Have you made up your mind what you want to do here yet?
I have not formally endorsed anyone. Obviously, it seems as if we are going to have one preeminent candidate, and that's a pretty good option. Hillary Clinton is ready to do this job. She shares, you know, largely all of my values. I was very impressed with her during her time as Secretary of State, and you know, I think I'll be proud ultimately to support her. I think it's very early in the campaign season, and so I just don't feel a lot of urgency on my part to jump in and make an endorsement. But if she's our candidate, boy, she'll be a good one.
I see your colleague Bernie Sanders, often on the show, is running also. What do you make of that?
Well, I'm happy for Bernie that he's thrown his hat in the ring, and I think he's going to raise a lot of really important issues. You know, there's nobody in our caucus, in the Democratic caucus, who's, you know, more passionate and more vocal about Social Security and Medicare, protecting the safety net for the most vulnerable. And it's not that I think that, you know, Secretary Clinton is in a fundamentally different space than Bernie is, but he has the ability to really, you know, rally people early on in the campaign season that I think is unique. So I am always for competition in these races. I think if you look at 2008, the competition between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton made them both better. I don't necessarily think that the Bernie Sanders-Hillary Clinton race is going to rise to the level of interest or competition that the Obama-Clinton race did, but I think it'll be good. It'll make everybody in the race a little bit sharper.
Well, Chris Murphy, what do you make of the Republican side of things? We have my own prediction is going to be, for whatever it's worth, which isn't much, is going to be Hillary versus Jeb. But I think it could be a close race.
I think it will be a close race. I mean, they're all close races. They don't look like it in the Electoral College often, but, you know, we're talking about 3 or 4 or 5 points. You know, what's interesting is that people's opinions of the president have improved. I think it's harder for people to deny that the economy is getting better and has gotten better under his watch. And so that anxiety and that angst that so many people brought to the polling place in 2014, maybe a little less in 2016. But it's really hard for a party to retain a presidency after an 8-year run. People just tend to be in a mood to try something different. I tend to not think the Republicans are going to make a big mistake here. I don't think they're going to nominate a Tea Party candidate. They will, I think, return to form and nominate one of their establishment candidates, whether that's Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio. Scott Walker, I think, might be a little bit too radical for them in the end result. I think in doing that, they'll make it a close race.
Now, let me give you 3 initials, TPP.
Yeah.
Okay, so what we're talking about here, as you know, of course, is Trans-Pacific Partnership and Fast Track Authority. The Democrats have said no to the president on this thus far as we speak. And I'm wondering whether everybody will get together and make nice, or whether or not this is going to be drive a fissure.
I don't think people are going to get together and make nice on this. You know, listen, it's no new development that there's a, you know, split in the Democratic Party on these free trade agreements. That's always been the case. There are more Democrats today than there were in the days of NAFTA against this type of agreement, in part because we watched what happened with NAFTA. I get it that when you look at the balance of trade numbers, that it looks like America does pretty well. But the question is, where does that money go? Who actually accrues the benefit of better balance of trade numbers with countries that we sign free trade agreements? It certainly aren't the factory workers in Waterbury and New Britain and Danbury that lost their jobs. It probably is the shareholders and CEOs of the companies who make more money now by, you know, being able to move some products overseas and some manufacturing. On fast track, here's my objection. So what we've decided to do is set up a greased process for trade agreements. And everybody says, well, if we didn't set up a greased process, you know, if we didn't eliminate amendments and require 50 votes instead of 60 votes, you know, then we couldn't get these trade agreements done. Well, I can name you a whole host of other really important things that we should do for the country that would happen if we eliminated all of those procedural barriers. So why do we fast-track trade agreements and we don't fast-track energy reform or immigration reform or tax reform, things that I would argue are frankly more important for the economy? So I just don't like this idea of a different process for trade that seems to benefit multinational companies, and then requiring everything else to get bogged down in the muck and mire of congressional process. So that's why I didn't support fast track. I'll keep my mind open on TPP. I haven't seen the deal yet. Fast track's another thing.
But of course, that's part of the problem, right, Chris Murphy? We haven't seen the deal. And the deal is largely being, we're being told to take it on the secrecy and accept that.
So I don't have that beef, right? There are a lot of people that say, listen, this is crazy that you're negotiating this behind closed doors. Listen, I accept that you can't negotiate a complicated trade agreement with 535 members of Congress, nor can you negotiate a nuclear treaty with Iran that way. And so, yes, I would like to see more consultation from the administration, but I don't actually think our democracy was set up to work in a way that requires the president to essentially open the books on negotiations with foreign countries before they're completed. You know, I'll take a look at the agreement when it's done. I've expressed to the administration what my priorities are. What are the things that I need in that agreement? What are the things that would cause me to vote no? I feel like they've heard me, but I don't really want to negotiate it. I think the executive should do that.
I only have 2.5 minutes, but I want to go to Iran for a moment. You mentioned it. You just opened the door, as they say, on Law and Order, Counselor. And therefore, where are we?
Well, we have a framework. As far as I'm concerned, it's a very good framework. I think it absolutely cuts off the pathways to a nuclear weapon over the course of the next 10 to 20 years. Unclear whether the Supreme Leader will actually put his signature or allow Rouhani's signature to go on that agreement in the final analysis, whether he can actually do a deal with what he calls the Great Satan. But I think we should give the president the ability to try to get through the final stages of negotiation. There is a lot of angst amongst our Sunni partners in the region. We're on the precipice of this summit to happen at Camp David. And we've got to answer those concerns, make sure that our allies in the region, the Gulf states, understand that if Iran does target them, does attack them, that we'll be there for them. But I don't see any other option right now besides a military strike, which would be catastrophic, to divorce Iran from its nuclear ambitions, and I'm hopeful that we'll give the president space to try to play these last stages of negotiation out. Hopefully we'll get a result.
So how's he doing? You got a minute. In other words, how is he doing in terms of his relationship with Congress on this?
Well, I think he's doing fine. I mean, again, I think there's Republicans who, you know, deny the legitimacy of the presidency, and so they want to negotiate directly with the Ayatollah. I think that, you know, in large part, people are very supportive. And Congress is now going to have a role. We're going to vote on this deal when it comes through, and I don't think that's inappropriate. But, you know, I think you have to sort of understand that much of the consternation over the president's diplomacy with Iran is just about Republicans who really don't believe that he's actually the president. You know, that's not something that we should pay too much attention to.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's always great to have Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut sticking with us. He did these shows when he was congressman. Now he's doing it as senator, even though he's gone uptown, and we really thank you for it, Chris.
Thanks, Alan.